Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are broadcasting live today from the Southern Illinois District Convention, and we have some guests from the district that we're going to talk with here in just a little bit. Before we get to that, I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University Wisconsin, for supporting this program. You can find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin on our website, kfuo.org. Go to the sponsors section and look for the CUW logo in the sponsors section. And you can find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin there. Go there and give them a shout out. Say thanks to Concordia University Wisconsin for supporting Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO. Well, we, as mentioned, we are broadcasting live from the Southern Illinois District Convention, the Southern Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And some teachers, some faculty are playing hooky today. They got out of school, and they get to come talk with me while they're here at the convention. Joining me at the booth today, we've got Rob Stock. He's the associate or assistant principal at Metro East Lutheran High School. Good morning, Mr. Stock.
Morning.
Thanks for joining us and taking some time to talk with us this morning.
No problem.
Not too long ago, I had the privilege of talking with some of the folks from Metro East Lutheran High School, some of the students and faculty there, and it was great to have some time with them. Today, we're gonna talk about them without them being here, so you can say all you really want to say about them.
Sounds good.
Also joining us at the booth today, Mr. John Chrisman. He's at Christ Our Savior Lutheran High School, and that's down in Evansville, Illinois, correct?
That is correct.
Very good. And Mr. Chrisman, and this is the first time we've had a chance to get to talk with you and anyone from Christ Our Savior Lutheran High School.
It is. It is a privilege.
Looking forward to hearing about the history of the school there as well. Now are there other high schools in the district, or does this make up all the Lutheran high schools in the district?
There's one more. That's Christ Our Rock in Centralia, Illinois.
Okay. Very good. I haven't seen. Are they here today? Have you seen them?
Not sure.
I haven't seen them yet.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get to run into them today and have a chance to talk with them as well. Well, let's talk a little bit about the history of Christ Our Savior Lutheran High School in Evansville, Illinois. Mr. Chrisman, when did the high school start?
Sure. The high school started in August of 1999. And again, there are four surrounding Lutheran grade schools there in Randolph County. And so a group of Lutherans in that area thought, you know, it would be great if we could offer not just a pre-K through 8 Lutheran education, but pre-K through 12. And so they founded the school then, and we've been growing on campus ever since. Started at St. Peter's Lutheran Church in their annex in the classrooms. And since then, we've built two buildings, both a gymnasium as well as a classroom building.
So it's grown over time. What about Metro East Lutheran High School? Still fairly new to some degree as well, right, Mr. Stock?
Yes. We started in the late 70s, where a group of church members from the area came together and decided that there needed to be a Lutheran high school to continue the education after the grade school experience was over. And they came together and put together the association that makes up Metro East Lutheran High School. And it's been growing ever since, and it's just continued to serve the community in many great ways.
And that's in Edwardsville, Illinois. Now, has it always been at the same location, or has it moved around a little bit like Christ Our Savior as well?
I believe it started at St. Paul Wood River, and then moved over to the current location where we are now on Center Grove Road in Edwardsville. So we've been at the same location for a pretty long time now, for about close to 25 or 30 years now.
And I remember visiting back when I was in college, having a friend who was a teacher there and visiting the school, and it was a pretty new facility at that time. But now that you mention it and I think about it, it's been almost 20 years since visiting. It's great to hear that both schools have outgrown their original place and now continuing to thrive. Now, let's talk about serving different communities. You have different needs, and the size of the schools are different as well. How many students, any idea how many students, Mr. Stock, do you have at Metro East Lutheran High School?
We're at 200 this year.
200 students.
Yes.
And that's a freshman through senior, yeah.
That's correct, yes.
And how about Christ Our Savior, a growing school too, right?
Sure, yeah. We actually are kind of on the opposite end of Metro East, and it's really unique. We have 24 students, grades 9 through 12. You know, and I think that's something that we can talk about is the common mission that both schools have, even though we serve completely different demographics and areas. So Metro East very much in a metropolitan community, and Christ Our Savior very much in the middle of a rural farming community.
For folks not familiar with Evansville, Illinois, give us a little bit of a point of reference here. Where would we find Evansville, Illinois?
Sure. Some of the larger towns in our county are Redbud at the north end and Chester at the south end. And Chester's just across the river from Perryville. A lot of Lutherans are familiar with that area. So Evansville's right in the middle. Evansville is a town of about 600 people. But it's right on the Kaskaskia River where the farm services receives a lot of grain. And so we get a lot of truck traffic that comes through there. Very centrally located in Randolph County. And I think that's one of the reasons that that location was chosen, because, again, with the four surrounding Lutheran schools, we wanted to draw from all four.
Mm-hmm. And Metro East being in Edwardsville, give us an idea the community of Edwardsville.
Edwardsville is a community that continues to grow. It's a area of growing diversity as well. We draw at Lutheran High from a number of surrounding areas, not just from the Edwardsville area itself, but we've even gotten students from as many as 40 miles east and about 30 miles to the north. So it definitely is a wide range of communities, from the smaller towns up north to Edwardsville and Collinsville and the surrounding areas as well.
And there I see the principal of one of the schools in your right in your own neighborhood there. I see Ms. Beth Gooden.
Yes. Yeah. She's at Trinity Lutheran in Edwardsville, Illinois. Definitely a strong supporter and member of the association.
What are you gentlemen looking forward to, or what have you been involved with so far at this convention? Coming as educators to this convention, what types of things are there for educators to pay attention to at this convention, or are you involved on any of the committees at this convention? Mr. Christman?
Yes, I was asked to be a part of a floor committee this time around of Life Together, and so some of the resolutions that we have put together help to address, the continuing needs of our Synod. One of the ones that I'm maybe most personally impacted by is a resolution that we drafted that would help to make church work more accessible, mm-hmm. church work graduates, going to school by way of a forgivable loan that the Concordias, both the universities and the seminaries, might be able to grant to those in exchange for continuing service. So we're hoping that ends up being a win-win. So, our role here as advisory delegates is just that, is to kind of be a part of the proceedings and to consider how we can give our perspective as educators to make sure that how we're looking at the issues is a well-rounded view.
Very good. And so you had a chance to serve as a part of that that floor committee. And you brought up a good point that as commission workers, educators in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod generally serve as advisory delegates in district conventions and the synodical convention as well. Mr. Stockman, anything that... Mr. Stockman. Mr. Stock, anything at this convention that's caught your attention?
Not so far yet. I think it's just a good way for teachers to really see the whole picture of what the Synod's doing. I think as educators, sometimes we get so focused on the education of students, and it's good to see really what the Synod's doing, not only here in our own communities, but mm-hmm. also abroad. And I think that's a really key piece of what this is for our educators and what really we're here for, is to continue to learn about what the Synod's doing and ways that we can help as educators.
Now, I've seen several people here from Metro East this morning. Are classes still in session at Metro East Lutheran High School today, or do they have a staff day off?
The students have a staff day off today. Our staff is in attendance today, again, learning more about what's going on in the district and just, I think that's key as well for our mm-hmm. teachers, not only our administrators, but our teachers to see what's going on in the district as well.
Christ Our Savior, students have the day off today?
No, they have a half day of school. Uh-huh. Two of our teachers are are at school today. They are not commissioned ministers, but are great teachers for us. And actually, we're taking this opportunity to fulfill one of our mandates from the state of Illinois to provide CPR training to our entire student body. So that they're right in the middle of resuscitating Annie as we speak.
That's kind of a win-win situation. You get that opportunity then to fulfill that requirement. Everybody's learning an important skill then back on site. And so they're keeping things running back at site on site without you. Now, being at a smaller school, faculty serve and teach in a number of areas, correct? You might teach multiple topics, correct? You teach yourself as well. As an administrator, you're also a teacher in the school, correct?
I do. I have the privilege of teaching some upper-level math at school. But no, our full-time teachers are definitely jacks of many trades. One of our teachers teaches all of the social sciences, most of the math, a theology class. He's also the student council sponsor and coaches our Scholastic Bowl team. In addition to running our one-to-one program, which we just started this year. So, yes, we make good use of the talents and the gifts that the Lord has given to us, and we pray that we can be good stewards, encouraging them as well to be healthy in their ministry.
Now, I was just going to ask what makes each of your schools unique, and I think that's probably one of the things about Christ Our Savior Lutheran High School is that being a smaller school, that you it seems like the students probably spend more time with their faculty, but I'm sure that happens at a high school as well. But in a smaller school, you have the same teacher for multiple subjects, probably.
Yes, we had some friends of our families visit back in the fall, and they came from a community where their son went to a school of 2,000, and they just couldn't wrap their minds around what a school of 24, how it operates. And I think, you know, that, forget that he's from a school of 2,000. We have people in our own county that maybe can't grasp the concept. But we just had our accreditation visit for Advanced Ed and NLSA in November, and some of the comments that they made to us is, you know, what we're doing is really phenomenal, that we're able to provide a full high school experience, and no, not every, you know, you're not spending 80% of your classes with a single teacher, that we have, in essence, six teachers on campus, and how God has provided that curriculum for those students has given them really a what we would call an experience unlike any other in the whole world.
Very good. Well, let's talk about the student experience at Metro East Lutheran High School. Having 200 students, how many faculty do you have at Metro East Lutheran High School?
We have 20 faculty. Mm-hmm. We definitely look at it as a family environment, and I think that's one of the things that sets us apart from the public schools around us, is that all the teachers know all the students. Even with 200, you still run into them pretty much on a daily basis and get to know them on a personal level. And I think that's key to helping their education, because you get to know their personalities and what will help them and in their studies. So definitely a family environment, and something we look to continue.
Well, let's talk about the things that happen after school. You know, there are a lot of things that happen during the school day, but much of high school life, much of what many of us remember after high school is the things that happen at the end of the day, the things that happen after class time as well. Let's talk about that. Metro East, what are the opportunities for students when it comes to extracurricular activities?
We have all kinds of different opportunities, anywhere from bass fishing and sports to your normal sports, such as basketball and baseball and all those different types of sports.
You have bass fishing?
We have bass fishing.
Competitive bass fishing?
Competitive bass fishing is actually an IHSA-sponsored sport. We have a group of about four or five that go out every year and participate in the sectional contest for bass fishing.
Any champions yet?
We have not had any champions yet. So, but we like to be a school that offers people a chance to find something they enjoy, from drama to Scholar Bowl to many different clubs mm-hmm. and activities, creative writing club, to your main sports, football, and all those throughout the year. It's also a good way for our teachers to get to know students on a different level. Many of our students sure. or coaches our staff members, many of our club leaders are staff members, and that's a good way for us to get to know students outside of the classroom. And I think that's key for building relationships and building that family type atmosphere with the students, and they get to see a different side of you as a coach and a leader of those groups as well.
Now, are you the coach for the competitive bass fishing team?
I am not the coach for the competitive bass fishing team. I actually coach girls basketball and softball, so I'm not much of a fisherman myself, so they wouldn't want me to be the coach of that.
I was just trying to figure out how you practice for that.
Not a lot of practice goes on for that one. I think we do two different meets. We've had some great volunteer help from parents to get us boats and different things that are needed for the for those competitions. So definitely a wide array of different activities that we give our students, and they excel at the different things that they're interested in.
The arts, it sounds like you have quite a bit of an arts program as well.
Yes, our arts program has grown greatly within the past, I would say, 6 or 7 years, especially with the addition that we just put onto the school building with a actual stage and storage and different things like that. This really helped the arts program take off. We've started to do more productions, especially in the theater department. We do plays in the fall and midway through the second semester, and then we have a big musical towards the end of the year in the spring.
Very good. Are you going to be in any of the musicals?
Am I? Probably not. They've heard me sing. They probably do not want me to be in any of the musicals.
Well, very good. Let's talk about the extracurricular activities at Christ Our Savior.
Sure. I think back to what I mentioned earlier, it is pretty amazing how we're able to provide the full high school experience, and at times we actually maybe have too many choices for students. I'm just thinking about the next couple of weeks. On Sunday, because we don't have school on Monday for President's Day, our Future Business Leaders of America Club, they have an annual lock-in that day. We are starting a track team this year for the first time, and that will compete with drama for, you know, the time that our kids have to invest. So we've put on a drama production every year that the school has been open. And since the track team is new, we're making sure that we balance those resources well, and that help those students to make good decisions. In addition to that, we're having a driver's ed program start classes after school.
Wow.
This spring. So a lot of opportunities for our kids. In the fall, we had a volleyball team that had a very competitive season, and then a unique opportunity that we were able to offer was a co-ed basketball team that just wrapped up its season. We didn't have enough students interested to have a boys team, and didn't have enough students interested to have a girls team, so the students actually came to my office and petitioned and said, can we play together? And we found a way to make it happen. So pretty characteristic of our school that we want to give our students every opportunity to reach their goals.
Did you find other schools with co-ed teams to compete against?
We found other schools to compete against. None of the other schools were co-ed, but the teams were willing to compete against us. Yes.
Very good. And no champions when it comes to bass fishing yet.
No, there's been talk of trap shooting at our school, but we have not. No, we would be catching more like Asian carp down in Evansville.
Well, I think one thing that I find interesting is that while both schools have the standard regular what we'd find sports and after school activities, you have some unique things as well that really expand it to include interests of, you know, not just the regular athlete who plays basketball or football or things like that. You have some unique things as well. Do you find that in your school that the student who participates in athletics also is the student who participates in the fine arts, and you know, they're involved in a number of things, not just one activity? Is that what you find, Mr. Stock?
Definitely. We have a number of students that will participate in athletics and all kinds of different extracurricular activities, from theater to art to creative writing club. And I think it just helps definitely with our students to become more well-rounded when they're participating in those types of activities. And I think they see benefits from it, working with different teachers and meeting new people. So
Do you find that you have the scholar athlete artists or musicians?
Most definitely, and I think, you know, it's part of the culture of the school. And as I bragged on our teachers earlier and how diverse they are, mm-hmm. I think that's the type of kid that we attract as well, is a student that is not single-minded or pigeonholing themselves, but they're interested in pursuing new things, you know, and that's the benefit of the smaller school too, is, you know, we've had kids play varsity sports that have never played in their lives, mm-hmm. Kids that aren't afraid to try to take an art class or see what music's all about. And, you know, there's that safety to be able to take those risks.
Being a Christian high school, what contributes to the Christian education? What are the key components of a Christian education at your schools, at Metro East Lutheran High School? What are the key components that make it that make it different from any other school?
I think it starts with our faculty and our administration. I think it's about us living our faith out every day, being a model for what Christian witness and love is all about. And I think with that starts to show the students about how you live your life. Mm-hmm. They see it in our classrooms, they see it in chapel, they see it in the hallways, and that's the key. It can't be just words. It has to be actions. They have to be able to see you living your life in a way that's God-pleasing. Because if they're not, if what you're doing is contrary to what you're saying, then they're not going to be seeing a true Christian. And I think that's key, is living out your faith and not just the words.
So a faithful model of mature Christian faith is important when it comes to the faculty. What is Christian education like at Christ Our Savior? What makes up Christian education at Christ Our Savior?
Sure. I mean, first and foremost, it's going to be our theology department. I mean, that we require 4 years of theology, and students start with a Bible survey course, and they're ending their senior year with a course that's focused on missions and living out that faith as Mr. Stock talked about at Metro East. And I have to agree with him that being able to model an authentic Christian life is so important for our teachers to do in every class, though, not just in their theology classes, whether that's math class or history mm-hmm. class or English class or art class or in music. You know, we want to model the law and gospel and show students that we too are fallen sinners in need of God's grace. And not just in the classroom, but that, you know, even happens in my office, that when we have an opportunity to have a conversation about discipline,
sure.
That we sure are sure that that is about discipling those young men and women as well. So just helping them to see through a biblical worldview all that God has gifted them with and how they can use it to serve others and glorify Him.
Well, I know that you gentlemen have things to... I hear them calling people, rounding people up to get back to the agenda for today. I thank you both for taking some time to talk with us and share your stories with us. Before we go to break, I just wanted to say thank you, Mr. Stock, for being our guest here from Metro East Lutheran High School today. Thanks for being our guest on KFUO.
You're welcome.
And Mr. Christman at Christ Our Savior Lutheran High School in Evansville, Illinois. Thanks for being our guest today here on Worldwide KFUO.
It's been a privilege.
Well, I'll let you gentlemen get back to all the important meetings and all that you have to tend to as well today. Thanks for being our guest. We're going to head back to the studio here in just a moment. And again, want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. Go check them out, KFUO.org. Look for the sponsor section there. You can find CUW in the sponsor section and find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin. I'm going to send it back to the studio to you, Buzz, as we are continuing our live broadcast from the Southern Illinois District Convention here in O'Fallon, Illinois, right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. this serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
I've long said pro-lifers are the cream of the crop of humanity. They generously give of themselves and often of their meager personal resources. Some work in local Right to Life chapters or statewide organizations. Others volunteer in women help centers. Some devote many hours to sidewalk counseling outside abortion mills, while others peacefully protest with signs and rallies. There's also a network of women and men who counsel grieving mothers and fathers after a decision to abort. Grassroots pro-life activists have progressed from kitchen tables to the professional and effective movement you see today. They're motivated by love to protect babies they'll never even meet or know. As you celebrate Valentine's Day tomorrow, please pray for this movement of life, this movement of love.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
The world is the mission field of Worldwide KFUO. We bring the gospel of Christ to all nations. Worldwide KFUO reaches countries where missionaries on the ground can't go. Christ called us to proclaim the gospel to all nations. And that's what we do here every day at Worldwide KFUO. If our mission and worldwide outreach is important to you, would you please prayerfully consider supporting Worldwide KFUO at kfuo.org.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
Hi, I'm Joni Harwell. Worldwide KFUO is listener-supported, and you, the listener, are our funding providers. One of the best ways to help is by becoming a day sponsor. Pick an available date to mark a special event, or simply to thank our Lord for His many blessings. You'll find details at kfuo.org. Then click on Support Us, or call Mary Schmidt, 314-996-1518. Help spread the gospel. Become a Worldwide KFUO day sponsor.
For love, life, forgiveness, don't look to the stars, to the sunsets, even to the joys and wonders of this world for evidence of God's love in your life. Don't even look to the love of other sinful people for that. Look first and foremost to Jesus Christ alone. He's God's love in action for you.
Pastor Gregory Seltz, this week on The Lutheran Hour.
Sundays at 12:30 and 5 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO.
Worldwide KFUO salutes our day sponsor on this Friday, February 13th, 2015. Today's day sponsor is a listener of KFUO. Today's day sponsor has made a contribution to Worldwide KFUO in loving memory of his wife, who went home to the Lord on this day in 2014. Once again, we say thank you to a listener of KFUO from Golden, Colorado, today's Worldwide KFUO day sponsor.
By the Holy Ghost conceiving. He's the one who frees the prisoners, turning blindness into sight. He's the one who preached the gospel, healing every dread disease, calming storms and feeding thousands with the very bread of peace. Praise the one who blessed the children with a strong and gentle word. Praise the one who drove the demons with the piercing two-edged sword. Praise the one who brings cool water to the desert's burning sand. From this rise comes living water, quenches thirst in every land.
Listener-supported KFUO. Remember, you can hear Book Talk anytime, day or night. Visit the archive section of our website, worldwidekfuo at kfuo.org. KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Thank you. This is Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and you're listening to my favorite radio station, KFUO.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates, and we are broadcasting live from the LCMS Southern Illinois District Convention. Joining me at the table now, the first Vice President of Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, the Reverend Dr. Herb Miller. Did I get it right this time?
Miller, yes.
Miller. Everybody wants to call you Herb Mueller.
Yeah, lots of people do, and even some of my brothers go by Mueller. my father and grandfather preferred Miller because a little bit closer to the German Mueller. But that's okay. That's okay. I'll answer to whatever just so long as you call me to dinner.
And don't call you late. You are you've presented here at this convention, and you're presenting more later on today, correct?
Actually, I finished my presentation first thing this morning. I'm the representative of President Harrison at this convention. We presented a video last evening that kind of spoke of the work of the Synod, and I went through a number of kind of bullet points this morning about just how the Synod is doing. And I've also been advising a floor committee and answering questions, getting buttonholed, dragged over to KFUO. No,
those people
I
in radio.
I love coming to KFUO.
Well, thanks, and we love having you at KFUO, and you always have something great to share with us. Going out to conventions, I mean, this is one of your responsibilities that you make it to a lot of conventions as you go around our church body across the synod. What are some of the things that you see that are encouragement to you coming to this convention and others?
Well, first of all, I see a lot of young pastors and teachers who are very serious about our confession and about confessing Christ faithfully before the world. In this convention, especially, Southern Illinois has always had a strong prison ministry, and there's strong encouragement for prison ministry in Southern Illinois, in part because there are some 25 penal institutions in the boundaries of the Southern Illinois District where there are men the Lord has brought here so that they can hear the gospel, and we have to go and take the gospel to them, and that's exciting. It's also exciting to see expanding campus ministry and seeking to expand youth ministry and so forth. I told the convention about, just in general, about some proposals coming from the Office of National Mission to provide revitalization in mission for congregations, to plant new congregations, to develop an evangelism program, an easy way for congregations to teach lay people how to witness for Christ based on the outline of the Luther Small Catechism called A Simple Way. And I believe you've probably had folks talking on this air about that proposal. If you haven't, you should.
I don't know if we have specifically covered that, but thanks for the recommendation.
Yeah, talk to Mark Wood.
He's on every Wednesday with Witness Wednesday on his time at 8:45. Shares a segment there.
Okay, well then,
as a regular listener, I'm sure you hear it all the time. you're probably in a meeting at that time.
Actually, my wife is a much more regular listener of KFUO than I am. If I'm working,
you're probably in a meeting about that time.
I'm either in a meeting or I'm trying to concentrate, and having something in the background doesn't really help that.
Well, we'll certainly.
But or I'm traveling, you know.
Right.
But I listen when I'm in the car. I'm listening to KFUO.
Sure. Well, the nice thing is when you're traveling, you know, you can still listen online.
That's
the nice thing about going out to all these districts. Now, I know that you love each district equally, but is there anything special about Southern Illinois District that you love?
Well, what's special about Southern Illinois is the people.
Mm-hmm.
Preaching last evening, I'm looking around at the crowd, and I'm seeing a lot of familiar faces, not only with the pastors, but also with the lay leaders who mm-hmm. are present. Seeing just a lot of familiar faces, people I've worked with in the 16 years I was district president here. People that we walked through both the Valley of the Shadow and the mountaintop experiences as well.
Now, as I understand it, here in convention last night, Pastor Schar, Tim Schar, was elected president
again.
He was
reelected with, he had 90 votes, and all the rest had a combination of 15 votes total. So it was 90 for Schar and 15 for everybody else. So he was resoundingly reelected.
And what does that say about the relationship of the president of this district and the pastors in this district, the lay leaders in this district?
Well, President Schar has carried forward with one of the same emphases that I had, and that is that the district president, while it's an office that involves the left-hand kingdom in terms of the law and watching over doctrine and life of pastors and teachers and congregations, it needs to be carried out not in a bureaucratic but in a pastoral manner. He needs to be first and foremost a pastor, with everything that means, that the focus, the central core of the ministry is the gospel, that no matter what else is happening, we want the gospel of Christ crucified and risen for us to be brought forward.
Being a member of a congregation in the Southern Illinois District myself, and a church worker in the Southern Illinois District, and having served on a district committee as well, I can attest to that. I see that in President Schar. He's very pastoral in everything that he does, and this district is served well by him.
And it's when I was elected first vice president and President Schar took over as district president, I had absolutely no qualms and every confidence that he would continue in the same vein that I was serving, and he has. I have to tell you this story. I have four younger brothers, two of whom are pastors, and when I was first elected district president, my two pastor brothers got together, unbeknownst to me, and basically said, well, if we see Herb acting like a bureaucrat instead of a pastor, we're going to come and take him out to the woodshed and have him meet up with Mr. 2x4. And I found out about this about 10 years after they made this pact, and nothing ever came of it.
Well, thank goodness they never had to act on it.
Well, I'm not saying that everything I did was perfect, far from it, but... I do seek, and this is also why I appreciate so much working with President Harrison, that he approaches everything as a pastor and seeks to be faithful to God's word and faithful to the task of bringing people, bringing the gospel to people. And in fact, President Harrison is allowed by the bylaws to serve part-time as a pastor in a congregation, which he does, as assistant pastor at Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri.
And by doing so, it's kind of like when a principal is also a teacher, is still keeping that connection with the classroom, still keeping you in touch with...
Keeping someone in touch with that, but it's also... it's also a mindset and an attitude that when you walk into your office in the morning, you're not thinking, okay, how can I get this bureaucracy to do what I want it to do? But instead you're thinking, how is the Lord calling me to act as a pastor in this situation?
And that comes back to what we're all about. We're all about the gospel. And that's what pastors are given to do, to tell that, mm-hmm. that good news, that gospel of Jesus. Well, as we wrap up our conversation today, anything else as we wrap up our conversation here on the Southern Illinois District Convention? Anything else you want to share? Anybody that you haven't got to see in a long time that you got to see today?
Well, let's see here. That's there's a number of people. you know, it's hard to nail down just or to pick up on just one. Had just before coming over here, had an extended conversation with Jim Rowe, who was the longtime fifth grade teacher at Zion Lutheran School in Bethalto. Had both of my kids in school, and both of my sons in school, and that I worked closely with when I was a pastor at Bethalto. And he was telling me about his daughter, who I was there for her baptism many years ago. And she's now married to a pastor who's out in Nebraska. And just hearing how she and her husband are doing there was just a great thing. And see, I can't be that old. I can't be that old. I just and he's now retired, and he's not that much older than I am. And but I can't be that old. See, it's not possible.
Well, this district convention is one of the earlier ones. There are plenty more on the schedule for this year.
This is number 2 out of 35.
And you'll be making your way to many of them this year, correct?
I've got another, I don't know, 12 or 13 to go to.
So look for KFUO at some of those conventions. We'll hopefully be there as well. And blessings on your travels and all the work that you've got coming up in the next couple of seasons here. The Reverend Dr. Herb Mueller is the first Vice President of Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Thanks so much for being our guest today.
Thanks, Andy, for having me. It's great.
Thanks. We're going to send it back to the studio as we wrap up Faith and Family here at the live broadcast from the Southern Illinois District Convention.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at kfuo.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.